Isaiah chapter 49, and reading the three verses 13, 14, and 15. Isaiah 49, verses 13, 14, and 15. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should have no compassion upon the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Verses 13 and 15 is the voice of the Holy Spirit declaring the words of Jesus and the Holy Father. But verse 14 is Zion speaking when they do not feel and realize the Lord's presence with them, when they are mourning over their lost and sad condition, when they are desiring that the Lord will be better to them than they have known of late. It may well be also when they are forgetting what they have been and what they have brought upon themselves. Also, we need to look carefully, and may we be encouraged by the whole chapter. For here we read how God will send Christ to the Gentiles, and his gospel will he will come and spread his gospel abroad. And I say, what a blessed truth that is, and a good reason why we should sing. And oh, he calls upon the heavens to sing, and be joyful, O earth, break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord had comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Thus he calls upon the heavens, the earth, and the mountains to sing and testify of what the Lord hath done. Did not the Lord Jesus speak unto the Pharisees and to those who knew the truth, that if they held their peace, even the stones of the walls would cry out a witness if they wouldn't? Implying this, that man in the day in the church of God was inert and dumb. There's more life, I say, in the mountains and in the stonework of the building than the people. I believe we know something of this from time to time. And that scene of life so delights Satan. So delights Satan. But does it delight you? Does it delight me? Are we ashamed of him who does still speak and does still work in the hearts of poor sinners? Although, therefore, he says, sing in encouragement to sing. I would say when the children of Israel were in Babylon and were under oppression, and those their people who were taking them captives, they wanted them to sing to them. They knew that these people could sing. It's a mercy when we can say we know that people can sing and they got something to sing about. But they were compelled to say there, oh, that they could not sing in a strange land. They hung their harps upon the willows because it was so sad, and because a realization that God had visited them as he said he would, for their trespasses against them, for their idolatry of choosing other gods. I suppose some would readily say, but that's not so amongst us. My friend, alas, I believe it is. There's been a great turning away from God himself, whereas we have made gods of ourselves, declaring that we are the people. And it's all those other people that are the trouble and have brought such desolations upon Zion and upon us, or everybody else in this land of ours, in this denomination of ours. Friend, it needs great diligence to search our own hearts before God. And I say, where do we stand in this manner? Do we stand, I say, as before Almighty God, sinless? Are we wide awake? And are we indeed in great concern spiritually over Zion? Are we more concerned with the structure of the buildings than the content of the chapel itself and the Lord's presence there? Implying it's not our fault, but my friend, alas, it is our fault, is it not? I'm sure that is so. There's much wrong with us in the day in which we live, and has it not been so for a long, long time? You know, I was brought up a right little Pharisee for the Sabbath. Oh, I went to, if anybody wants to know, well, there's nothing wrong with me. I go to a chapel called Providence West Street, Croydon, a place where God's honour and glory had long dwelt. Why, in the days of Mr. Koval, I say, what a blessed spirit abounded there. But I say, how often, when the Lord removes one, or he removes that same faith and diligence with him. Some will say today, in reading Mr. Koval's sermons, he wasn't very discriminating. It wasn't hard. My friends, it is not of man's free will that we can convince another man of sin. I believe one of Mr. Koval's features was as a man of love, a man of kindness. He was in himself the little man in Zion, a man of no consequence. But did the people follow that spirit greatly? Did it grow in, I say, in the hearts of its hearers? In some, maybe. But there seemed to be a melting away from that as position. And I say, self-importance in the Church of God, you know, is idolatry. My friends, it does not matter who we are. We all need the same thing. and a vital matter that is. We need to be born again. It's not what the minister will say at the graveside of what they believe you are. My friend, the decisive day will be in the day of judgment. I say it will. True religion is a matter between you and your God. And I say, what a solemn feature that is when we realise that, oh, this is so. There seems to be an awakening amongst the people here. For Isaiah said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. But we don't always hear, but why has the Lord forsaken us and forgotten us? And why is it you feel it to be so? There is something wrong, but not with God. The fault surely lies with us. And the Lord reminds us here that it's nothing, it's not his fault at all. He's never made a mistake with you, sinner. For he said, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion upon the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. They're not indeed perfect. It is it, yet I will not forget thee. He is perfect, friends, in all his dealings with us. His watchful, careful, indulgent eye has ever been upon you in every matter and circumstance in your life. Oh, I say, what a record we have before the Almighty God. Nay, it is not God that has forsaken us, but it is we that have forsaken God. Oh, I've often said it, and I feel it to be so, with regard to faithfulness. What a contrast between the faithfulness of mankind and the faithfulness of God. God forbid that we should ever judge and assess the Almighty's faithfulness to us by our faithfulness to him. But rather the reverse. What a contrast. We are what we are by the grace of God. We are what we are in faithfulness, as his loving, tender heart is working deeply in our heart. But so often we have said, I don't want this man to rule over me. I don't want such principles to govern me and cause me to do things I do not want. In other words, we're not walking in his ways and his commandments. We're not walking to please him, but only walking to please ourselves. And were we not walking to please him, I say, is it not because he's so devalued in our eyes and estimation compared with the things of this world? Oh, I say, but Zion says, the Lord has forsaken me. How we need the Lord to lead us and to teach us that he has made all things good and wise and well. Oh, we used to sing in the school, all things wise and wonderful, all things great and small. How true it is, the Lord has made them all. But the things the Lord has done and performed are the things of holiness and purity, sinless. Oh, Zion said, but the Lord has forsaken me. I can't get into that vein of singing from time to time. Everything's dark and evil and poor. And some will say, if you're not in that frame of mind and that spirit, then there's something wrong with you. Oh, I say, condemnation is no, in the heart, it is no justification, and that we are right before God. My friend, we need the Lord to change our hearts and to renew our will, to turn our feet to Zion's hill. So the Lord here says to us, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people. Friend, if there's anything that will make a poor sinner to sing, it's when that comfort from the Lord abounds in his heart. I say, what is that comfort? Oh, that was spoken of here. Friends, it's not saying, it comforts us by saying, don't worry about your sins. It doesn't say it makes you comfortable because you can now forget all your sins. Friends, there'll be no comfort unless a true repentance of heart and soul over our sins. Oh, to confess our sins before him, that he should come, I say, poor sinner, that we confess our sins and he seal peace and pardon to our soul. Oh, sing, yea, rejoice, O heaven and earth, that is the Lord that changes, it is the Lord that utters, it is he that binds up the brokenhearted. My friends, how many know what it is to be brokenhearted before the Lord? I say to weep and mourn over their sins and all their trespasses against him. When their prayers are turned and changed and say, Lord, if thou wilt be gracious to me and uphold me, I don't want these things anymore. I want to be delivered. I want true repentance in my heart, that I may be kept from reproducing the sins that I have so produced before. O Lord, I want indeed to be free from bondage which sin does bring upon me. I say, rejoicing in what? That has done great things for his people. Rejoicing in nothing less than the precious blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Oh, I say, oh, we would not shun from speaking of rejoicing in the righteousness of Christ. But oh, how we need, lest the human nature breaks forth and calmly addresses the matter. Friends, not that. No, but oh, when the blessed Spirit breaks in, he is called to be a Prince and a Saviour. And he giveth, I say, the poor sinner repentance, that blessed change of life, that blessed change of direction. Has the Lord changed us in direction in our life? Are we still in the old way and stubbornness of our heart? I cannot answer that for you. You cannot answer that for me, can you? But I say, what a rejoicing that is. He gives freedom from the bondage of sin. What bondage that is, when we are held fast in Satan's chains. Oh, my friends, it's not a question just talking of these things. It's practice of these things. The power of it, the practice, must be through the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, convincing us that we are wrong. Many may say, I am wrong, I know I've done wrong, and tomorrow I shall do the same again. Oh, friend. And enjoy it? Alas, yes, in some cases. But when the Lord makes us free, why, we hate those sins that we once enjoyed. We hate the stubby thought of retreating back to the same old position. Like the sow that was washed, the wallowing in the mire, we hate them. Oh, to rejoice. Then he said, we can say, begone unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. I say, how wonderful that is, that the Lord causes us to rejoice. Not a carnal jollification. I say that sometimes we hear of, which has no bottom, no ground, no connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I say, oh, rejoice indeed that Christ died. But my friend, rejoice also that he rose again for our justification. That is a wonder indeed, isn't it? Yea, his death and his resurrection. How men try to hate that, and they try to oppose it more and more. But I say, blessed be his name, that he has ascended up on high. Yes, what a wondrous office he holds there. Oh, he surely sits now at the right hand of the throne of God, the great high priest of all, to intercede for his people. Oh, rejoice. Whereas we feel so desolate in prayer ourselves, yet Christ Jesus knows our hearts. He knows our cries before him, and therefore he knows exactly how to intercede for us. Has he not still got, oh, that precious blood of atonement that he has to atone for his people's sins? Oh, I say, sweet is that very thought. Rejoice, poor sinner, you who may previously have been boasting what you'll do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear Peter, he is so indeed strange in his mind. He lacked understanding. He said previously to his disciples, when thou art converted, strengthen the people. In other words, you're not fit yet. You're not fit yet. You don't know the plague of your own heart. How true that is. He didn't know the plague of his own heart. He said, I'll defend thee. They will not overcome thee. All the time you've got Peter by your side. Dear Saviour, you're in no need at all. Oh, little did he understand. So the Lord said to him, Simon, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Friend, how close he came to it. What would he have done without the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you look back, you have to say, and what would I have done if Jesus didn't pray for me, keep me, hold me? Oh, that he was still tolerant with me. Do we not hear him say later, Simon Bar Jonas, lovest thou me? Oh, three times he denied his Lord and Master. Oh, that great man, valiant for the truth, as he thought. But he denied him. He failed on every score. Can you say, but I haven't? But we have friends, haven't we? Oh, but he says, dost thou love me? Lord, thou knowest all things. He'd been through the fire. His faith had been proved. He proved indeed he'd been a traitor. But oh, he proved that Jesus had been a saviour and was faithful to him. Lovest thou me? Oh, the great point, isn't it, of union with Christ, a love to him and his love to us. We cannot give that love to ourselves, but it is known and felt when that love is shown to us, that he has loved us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness he has drawn us. What spectacles we stand, oh, before Almighty God, as we struggle on in life's journey, and we verily feel everything is too much for us, and how shall I till the end endure? My friend, oh, can a woman forget her sucking child? And if this is so, she doesn't forget, will the Lord Jesus Christ forget you? Has he previously remembered you? When he cast a look on you and caused you to go out and weep bitterly? Yea, want to be alone? When you come before him and say, Lord, just look at me. Wilt thou look again on me? Will they have mercy upon me? Or have I burnt my ships and they can never return again? My friend, no. He said, his love is an everlasting love, and he will not be content, I say, until he draws you again to himself, causes you to return and to rejoice in every aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. How much we have to learn and know and understand of the love of Christ. Why, we know but little, but oh, we believe this. As he said in the 13th chapter of John, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Jesus knew from the beginning how our faith, how our conversion would be sorely tried and depended on him, yea, even unto the end. And all the testing times and proving times it may come under, but for the Lord Jesus Christ it would never endure until the end. To me, that word enduring is a beautiful word, isn't it? Enduring to the end. And we might say this man has endured to the end when he's buried. When, no, he has endured to the end by the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, as proving him to be the God of Jeshurun, and that underneath are those everlasting arms that have never given way, never given way, that have never said, I've had enough of this sinner, I can't put up with any more from him. We stand amazed at the Lord, to turn again and hear our poor prayers from time to time, in spite of what we've been. He loves his people to the end. And why does he love them to the end? Because they are all that the Father hath given him. I say, go consider that point at your leisure tonight, friends. Are given to him of the Father. And what did the Lord give to him? Well, they are the election of grace, one might say. Yes, how true that is. But every one of them was a hell-deserving sinner. And every one needed eternal redemption through Jesus Christ, his dear Son. And that no other than the Lord Jesus Christ could save them and deliver them and raise that sacrifice of atonement for them. Oh, that is why they endure to the end. It's an eternal and everlasting sacrifice, friends, for his people. It will never fail. It will never fail because there's divine love in it, is there not? And that divine love, my friend, is a perfect love. It's a love without sin, you say. It wouldn't be perfect if there was sin to be found there. I say, this is our mercy. Yes. Oh, as can a woman forget her sucking child? No. And neither will the Lord forget what it cost him, yea, to suffer, bleed and die, and give unto that soul eternal life, that now it cries, Abba, Father. Lord, I believe in thee. Oh, Lord, I desire thee. Oh, to be my faithful Father, my faithful friend. Oh, that I may be found, Lord, sitting at thy feet. For here I discover, surely, that thou the one thing art needful. Many things we may be careful and troubled over, yes, and there is a place for these things, but they do not take the first place. Oh, but Zion says, the Lord has forsaken me. Do we not need to look again? Why, how long have you been in the way? How long has he been faithful and merciful to you? Why has he forsaken you and you're still there? I say, are you still knocking at Mercy's door? You would not be there, I say, if he hadn't kept you there. You may be looking for the spectacular, and then you could walk about and parade your profession and say, look what a good testimony I've got, my friend. He'll never call you to rejoice in that vein of thought, no. But he'll call you to rejoice in this Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, this is what I am. All the honour and all the glory belongs unto Jesus. Yes, O heavens, O earth, O mountains, O hills of Bashan. Why, the Lord is due for all the honour and glory. And I believe his people say, yes, he does. I don't admit that. There's nothing in me to merit my Creator's esteem. But he saw me in my lost and ruined condition and had mercy upon me. He saw me cast out in the open field and sit past by and said, live. Oh, bless his dear name, live. A life that's worth living is not to be found in the things of this life, but all those things that in that love of Christ that supersedes all love, that you might discover or speak about here below. His love is a love that never fails. Amen.
Singing hymn number 768 to the tune Buckland 430. Hymn number 768. Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep, thou thy flock dost feed and keep. Sweetest pasture dost prepare, watchest them with tender care. Thee the sheep profess and own, thee they love, and thee alone. Thee they follow in the way, strangers will they not obey. Hymn number 768.
now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, for the teaching of thy Holy Spirit, to be with us and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.